Hello everyone, my name is Maggie Kwok, and I am the Global Head of Financial Services at Harnese. This is the first episode of our Funds and Asset Management podcast series for 2026, and we are going to be covering the Cayman-Luxembourg fund structure. I have with me today Stefan Karaschuk, who is a partner based out of a Hong Kong office. Hello Stefan, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you Maggie.
Now Stefan, I can see that you're already collaborating in full steam with our Luxembourg-based team. And being based out of Hong Kong, servicing APAC clients is obviously something that is second nature to you. I'd be very interested to hear how you see your position in this market.
Thank you for the question, Maggie. I've been based quite a number of years in Asia, as you mentioned. For the past 15 years, I've been here in this part of the world, sort of promoting Luxembourg and walking managers through the process of setting up sometimes and very often their first Luxembourg fund. Before that, I was based in New York and doing the same with North American clients. And before that, I was obviously in Luxembourg for a number of years, working with the leading Luxembourg-based law firm. And so I see Luxembourg really gaining traction in this part of the world for a variety of reasons that we are going to talk about during this podcasts, and certainly a phenomenon that we can see in North America and obviously in Europe and the Middle East for quite a number of years.
I'm sure you would agree that Luxembourg actually complements the Cayman structure quite nicely. And in fact, you probably, and we certainly do have been in the past, seen a lot of Cayman-Luxembourg parallel fund structure being managed by our clients. We hear that a lot in cases where sponsors on one hand use the Cayman structure to tap into a number of jurisdictions, such as the US, also a number of jurisdictions here in Asia, the Middle East, LATAM, etc. And on the other hand, Lux structures to tap into EU money. We all know Cayman is the gold standard for a variety of reasons, which many of you listening on this podcast are already familiar with. I suppose our subject headline is slightly misleading when we say Cayman-Luxembourg, because I do want to spend the bulk of our time today to unpack Luxembourg only because most of us are already quite familiar with Cayman. Now, Stefan, what are the main driving factors for separating out the EU investors into a Lux fund vehicle? I think, you know, just to save time, I'm going to be asking another question tagging onto this, which is we hear clients talk about or ask about relying on reverse solicitation. Is this a feasible strategy? And if not, what other options are available?
Right. So what we very often see, and it's quite natural, is that managers outside Europe tend to use Cayman because it's just an easy way for them to set up their first fund and a totally acceptable and efficient way of raising capital around their home market and their region. And so very often you have these fund managers having raised already successfully Cayman Fund 1, 2, 3. Over time, as part of their willingness to expand, Europe comes into play, and they may also note that a number of European investors may be approaching them as they go and as they market their strategy in Asia, because they've heard about it, because the performance or the product simply very good and attractive to them. And this is usually where Asian, North American or managers outside the EU are looking at Luxembourg, because they realize that reverse solicitation is actually quite a gray area, if you want my views on this, because everything is done really in the EU to restrict to the largest extent possible the reliance on reverse solicitation. It's still there, but it's now this concept of pre-marketing is in place that will basically, if you have done some pre-marketing, prevent you from accepting any subscription based on reverse solicitation. So reverse solicitation is not a strategy. It's something that may happen, and it's actually very, very difficult to be 100% confident that we will be able to prove that it's a true reverse solicitation if at some point there's a question about it. So it leaves us with two chapters. One is national private placement rules, can I then register my fund on a country-by-country basis in Europe, like I do with my Cayman fund in Asia, or rely on some sort of exemptions? Or do I go for a full-fledged AIFMD passport? And the AIFMD passport will allow you to set up your fund in one jurisdiction in the EU, and I will stress that again after, in order to benefit from the AIFMD passport, your fund needs to be based in the EU, and sell that fund on a cross-border basis based on the approval that you get, in our case, from Luxembourg, and the passport that is attached to the manager, AIFM, based in Luxembourg, which we will elaborate on in a moment. So you have those two choices. Reverse, which is sort of not a strategy. A strategy relying on national private placement rules with all kind of limitation that we are going to talk about in a second. Or you set up a fund in Lux and you run it in parallel to your Cayman fund, which you can keep very well for your distribution in Asia, North America, etc. But you have running alongside a Luxembourg fund that will invest in the very same portfolio, but will cater to European investors.
Right. But what if clients are not quite ready to put in place substance in the EU? And what if national private placement or the reverse solicitation option, that they're not really a feasible option for them for the time being? I mean, how can you advise clients to become AIFMD compliant in that case?
Right. So to elaborate on national private placement rules and on the full AIFMD compliance, just on the national private placement rules, I would like to stress that they're all different. Some countries have them, some countries do not have them. They will require approval or notification. They will take more or less time. So practically, it will be okay if you target a couple of jurisdictions and that the national private placement rules in these jurisdictions are reasonably flexible. So in that case, NPPRs are okay. In other cases, you will need to have indeed AIFMD compliance. And as I mentioned in the previous answer to your question, you need an AIFM somewhere in the EU and most likely in Luxembourg. But it could be somewhere else because there is a passport attached to the AIFM services. This AIFM is basically a full-fledged management company that will be granted by its home country regulator an AIFMD license. And there's a lot of sub-license attached to that, but I'm not going to enter into that detail, which basically is what you would have in Hong Kong or in the US or elsewhere as a full-fledged asset management licensed entity. And this entity will be, if you do not have your own on the ground in let's say, in Luxembourg, an entity that you can appoint. And there are actually in Luxembourg plenty of service providers that as a business have an AIFM management company that they put at the disposal, if you want, of third country managers in order to create an AIFMD compliant product. They will not be letterbox entities. They will be full-fledged managers. They will exercise oversight and monitoring, and they will be very involved in the fund setup and in the compliance and everything else. And they will monitor in particular the portfolio management function, which will most likely be delegated back to the fund manager based in our case in Hong Kong or New York or elsewhere. So that's a third-party management company model that existed for many, many decades for UCITS funds, so the mutual funds, which is sort of replicated in the case of AIFMD compliant funds.
Well, the third-party management company model certainly sounds quite palatable, but I guess the question for a lot of our clients would then be, you know, how readily available they are from outside of Luxembourg, because you mentioned there are a number of them available on the ground in Luxembourg. But so I guess that tags onto a wider question, which is, you know, if we look at Cayman, it offers more of a turnkey solution where a lot of the service providers are available on the ground in Asia, for example, and in the US, where a lot of the Cayman funds are being formed and set up. And so the question then becomes, you know, in terms of resource allocation and in terms of timing, how is it going to work for a client that, again, going back to my previous point, who is not quite ready to have in place substance on the ground in Luxembourg, but operating outside of Luxembourg?
Yes. No, they will have substance, just they, not necessarily their own substance, indeed, and so
That's
they
true.
will need to. They will need to liaise with quite a number of service providers on the ground in Luxembourg to make it work. We've worked with a number of managers and assisted them into, you know, reaching out and discussing and getting, you know, some sending requests for proposals from all these service providers. The good news is increasingly these fund service providers, whether AIFMs or depositories, administrators and auditors, have people on the ground in the jurisdiction where the manager is located, with people knowledgeable about the whole line and broad range of services that their company can provide out of Luxembourg, and can, in most cases, you know, handle this whole preparatory phase for setting up a fund with the manager in their time zone. So it greatly facilitates the sort of approach and the time and efforts that you need to put into choosing or selecting, doing the due diligence on your service providers, et cetera, et cetera. So we're getting there into a turnkey solution as well.
So, Stefan, thank you very much for your time on this podcast. Now, before I'm going to let you go, let me just pick your brain one last time. What would you say the three main takeaways for our audience today?
First of all, that reverse solicitation is not a marketing strategy, that national private placement rules are workable to a limited extent, and that the way to go would be to be AIFMD compliant with the Luxembourg structure and the appointment of a third-party management company to give you access to the AIFMD passport.
Wonderful. And of course, to end, here at Hyneys, across our global network, we are here to help you to navigate all the nuances right from the beginning of your planning process. So stay tuned for our upcoming episodes of podcasts. Until next time.